The food was gone, tipped into the abyss with the four dead animals. Ryan had considered the suggestion of Sleeps in Day to go down after the animals and butcher some meat, but it would have taken them hours and lost vital pursuit time. So they'd snatched the chance of pressing on with no supplies and very little water, hoping to take what they needed when they finally caught up with the general and his killers. The sight of the struggling wags, laboring to reach the top of a steep incline through the deep mud, encouraged everyone in the pursuing group.
We could take them.
They are near their home, Whitehair.
The leader of the Navajo brushed back an errant strand of sleek black hair from his dark eyes.
Night will come well before we catch up with them, and they will be safe.
Ryan moved in the saddle to face the Indian.
No. They might be in their base, but it doesn't mean they'll be safe. No.
Is there anything between here and there? Shelter? Any sort of vill? Pest hole?
Sleeps in Day turned to his companions. There was a shrugging of shoulders and shaking of heads. But Ryan noticed that the oldest of the group of warriors was looking as though he were nearly going to speak. He pointed to the long-haired, heavily built man.
What about him?
Who? You mean Thomas Firemaker?
Yeah. Ask him.
Ask him yourself.
All right.
Yes, I remember coming this way, long time ago, hunting with my father. No, it was my grandfather. He was dying of rat sickness. We were looking for a place for him to die. It was a long, long time ago.
At the mention of rad sickness, Ryan and JB glanced instinctively down at the tiny rad counters each wore on his lapel. Both had moved from the safe green into the slightly more dangerous yellow. But it was still a good distance from the threat of orange and the serious menace of red. They both knew that the southwestern area of Deathlands was one of the worst for hotspots of residual nuke radiation from the days of Skydark, partly because of the number of secret missile installations that had been seeded throughout the region.
And what did you find?
Christy took a cautious sip of water from her canteen. At least the storm earlier had given them all the opportunity to top up their drinking supplies.
Damn it! Too many questions!
Yeah!
Thomas Firemaker suddenly heeled his mount away from the others. Dean pulled on the reins as his mount started to follow the other pinto pony.
What's wrong with him, Sleeps in Day?
The general murdered the mother of his mother, and his own mother, and the sister of his mother, and the sister of his wife, and the brother of his sister's wife, as well as the son of...
Yeah, I get the picture.
What did Thomas tell you about this place where he took the dying man?
He says it was unspoiled, behind where the land had once jumped and slipped. A place where, in the ghost times, the Anglos would stop to eat.
A diner. There's an old diner.
From the outside, Mom's place was still in amazingly good condition. On the way to the diner, following the grudging leadership of Thomas Firemaker, they had passed a place where there had obviously been a massive earth slide, blocking off the highway. But sometime in the past couple of years, the rains had eroded the blockage away, reopening the side trail, revealing the single-story diner for the first time in a century or so. It had originally been covered in a thick layer of stucco, painted to resemble genuine adobe. But the 100 years of extreme weather had cracked and fissured it, reducing it to an indeterminate, pallid gray-brown.
All the windows are still there. Hardly ever seen any place pre-dark like that.
Ryan eased himself stiffly from the saddle, throwing the reins over the stallion's head and looping them around a rusted metal fence that had probably once marked the edge of the parking lot of the isolated eatery.
Place is sheltered here, Dean. I'd figure that about 90% of the damage done to buildings in the old times was done by man, or muties.
Make that 99%, Ryan.
JB straightened his back.
Dark night. I'm not cut out to ride on four legs. Sooner we can catch a general, the better. Maybe even steal both of his wags to ride back home again.
The wind was rising as the day crawled to its ending. A 6-foot ball of tumbleweed rolled down from higher up the hills, brushing past the wall of the diner, spooking Judas just as Doc was in the process of clambering off its back.
Egad!
Doc managed to keep his balance and quickly knotted the reins around the fence.
I have traveled many a country mile with you, Ryan Cawdor, but I have seldom taken less pleasure in the journeying. I am very much a man of peace. As you will all bear witness, yet I shall be more than happy to speed this general and his thuggish gang into the blackness of an afterlife. Anything to avoid having my buttocks separated by this jolting creature. After half an hour, it becomes uncommonly like sitting astride a circular saw.
The Navajos hadn't dismounted, sitting together in a tight bunch. Ryan glanced back at them.
What's the problem, Sleeps and Day?
We will not enter.
Why not?
We all say we will not enter.
Sure. I hear that, but you have to say why.
No.
Look, it's going to be one hell of a storm sometime in the next hour or so. We need shelter. We need rest. This time tomorrow there will have been a shitload of chilling done. Not all of us might make it home. So we all have to be at our best. Come on, we're together in this.
The Navajo shook his head, stubbornly refusing to say anything to Ryan.
My dear Cawdor, perhaps I might offer a solution?
Sure, go ahead.
Doc stalked across the damp sand to stand close to the huddled group of Native Americans.
Mr. Firemaker, you mentioned that you had been here in this place some time ago.
It is so.
When the diner was sealed off by that earth slip? Of course it was then. You must have stumbled upon this by accident while out hunting. And you had an elderly and sick man with you. Am I correct so far?
The Navajo leader looked impassively at him.
There is no magic in this.
Of course not, my dear man. I have no pretense to be some sort of shaman. I have no wisdom. No comment necessary, Dr. Wyeth. But, Mr. Firemaker, I believe I understand the reasons for your obvious reluctance to enter Mom's place. Should I continue?
Yes.
The old man died, did he not? He died here, in this isolated relic of a forgotten past. Ended his days in the haunted catacomb of long-gone white men. Thomas Firemaker, is this not the truth of what happened?
You speak true. It was a hard passing, with snow lined thick. And there I see things as they were. It is like a waterhole of time, still and held forever.
An oasis, by God! A time capsule! I've seen that sort of thing before in Deathlands. Like a fly trapped for all eternity in a glistening bead of amber. Unchanged and unchanging. And now you fear that the spirit of your father's father lies in wait for you in there. That is it not?
Sounds like somebody's seen some episodes of Perry Mason.
Everyone was concentrating on the face of the oldest of the Navajo, seeing the struggle written clearly there.
It is as you say. The passing from here to the other side was long and painful. In the end, it fell to me to help him cross. There was much pain, and he cursed as he died.
Cursed you say?
Cursed my father, me, this place. Said his spirit would never leave it.
Christy had dismounted and walked to stand alongside Doc.
I have the skill of seeing. I can feel if there is evil anywhere. It's something I inherited from my mother Sonia when I was a child in the Ville of Harmony.
The Navajo looked at her. No sign of emotion on any of their faces.
Words are chains of silver. They bind us. How do we know you speak the truth about this?
You don't. There's no way I can prove this. But in your hearts, I think you can tell the difference between truth and lies. And you know which I deal in. What we all deal in.
You feel bad things here?
Christy shook her head, her bright hair seeming like sparks of living fire around her face.
No, Thomas Firemaker. I would tell you if I did. To risk danger when there is no need is without any point. I say we should go in and be safe against the night.
It wasn't quite that simple. The Indians argued among themselves for several minutes. Surprisingly, Thomas Firemaker appeared to be strongest in favor of using the diner for shelter. It was one of the others, Young Pony Runs, who seemed loudest in opposing the idea. He was in his early 20s, with a massive scar across his forehead, barely healed. It was caused, so Sleeps and Day had told them, by the butt end of a rifle from one of the general's men. He was yet another in the party with a special reason for killing the general personally.
Why can't we go in anyway, Dad? Let them do what they want.
No, this isn't an easy alliance, Dean. I'm not going to try and push them one way or the other.
At that moment, Sleeps and Day swung his leg over his horse and vaulted athletically to the ground, followed by the rest of his party. Young Pony Runs was the last to move. Mildred stood by the doorway, ready to push it open.
Welcome to Mom's place.
She touched the outer door.
Perfect. Ugh, termites. The wood's rotted, and it only took a touch for the whole front pane of glass to fall in. You can all put away the blasters.
Mildred scuffed away the piled shards with her boot. JB stared anxiously up at the flat roof.
Maybe the whole place is likely to fall on our heads. Walls have some cracks in them.
Stood for 100 years, and I guess it'll stand for another 10 hours or so. Let's find out.
The window glass at the front was dulled by the scouring winds of the region, fly-blown and covered with thick dust and the ghostly veils of myriad spider webs. A sign hung crookedly, with a single word, closed.
I'll go first.
The Sig Sauer P226 tied in his right hand. Ryan took a couple of careful steps. Then he stopped, paralyzed by the sight that met his eyes.
Damn.
Ryan had seen a number of flickering and rarely complete pre-dark vids over the years, often showed on soiled bedsheets with someone panting away over a pedal-operated power generator. He had always found such films totally fascinating, giving a peephole into the past. It was surprising how often these vids seemed to show characters sitting in diners, eating and drinking and using the setting to carry on the plot lines. In fact, it had sometimes seemed to Ryan that people in the sunny times before the long winters had spent most of their time in diners. Now, in Mom's place, in the wilderness that was southern New Mexico, Ryan found himself in precisely such an eatery, perfectly preserved, like some magical hologram. The building was about 80 feet long and 25 feet wide, with a counter running along most of one side, a fly-specked mirror behind it. Along the other wall, by the front window, were a number of small booths, with plastic tables bolted to the floor, 2 swivel seats on each side. On each table was a chrome box of what looked like loose sheets of faded and brittle paper, and what Ryan knew from the vids were salt and pepper shakers. At the back was a pair of single doors. One had a sign that read Doe's, and the other one, Buck's. He had a vague idea that these must be men's and women's crappers. One by one, they walked inside, standing in a huddle by the broken door.
Think there'll be some food?
JB cat-footed around the end of the counter and cautiously pushed at a swing door that opened into a small kitchen area.
Nobody. Not a sign there's been anyone here for years.
Christy stood with a hand on Ryan's arm.
Gaia, it's like some sort of museum.
Sorry, my friends, but I fear the powdered rocks of ages have infiltrated my poor old sinuses and given them a severe working over. I have never... This is like some of the more atmospheric paintings of Edward Hopper. I can hardly believe it.
The 9 Native Americans had followed more slowly, not one of them actually setting a moccasin foot over the dusty threshold of the diner. They peered around with something that seemed very close to fear.
Seems safe. Anyone wants to look around can do so.
Christy stood arm in arm with Ryan, reading the faded, hand-lettered notices pinned up all along behind the counter.
Friendliest little diner in the whole damned world.
Huh.
No long hairs, girls not counted. Truckers do it all night long. The NRA never rejects America. Prices do not include tips. If and you don't like it, then get the fuck out of here.
Wouldn't have cared too much to have met Mom. I don't think I'd have cared too much for eating in her diner either.
They used to call me Greaseball Tanner in my fancy dining days, though I never got fat. Just look at the menu.
I wouldn't mind buffalo burger, onion rings, bacon, 2 eggs your style and fries. Wouldn't care how it's cooked.
God, how I miss trans fats.
How about their all-day breakfast, Millie? Could do a job on that right now.
Choice from ham, link sausages, patties, eggs, mushrooms, steak, tomatoes, hash browns, corn, okra, bread, coffee. No add-ons for set price.
There's no place like home. There's no place like home.
The dish of the day was catfish and boiled potatoes, and at the bottom of the board was the selection of desserts. Dean had gone through into the kitchen.
Looks like they just left!
Ryan joined the boy, smiling ruefully.
You're right. There's something sad about this sort of thing.
At a superficial glance, it really did seem that the people who'd run the diner 100 years ago had just walked out for a breath of the darkening late afternoon air, leaving everything just as it had been. There were cups and dishes in the steel sink, the crusted food thoroughly fossilized by the passing time. The greasy water had long drained away, leaving a coating of whitish scum on the dull metal. The chopping board had been in use, though the vegetables had disappeared into a dry, multicolored smudge on the hacked wood. Knives and spoons were all around, where the dead hands had laid them down in that moment of panic that had brought word of death from the skies. Death had probably been born on the polished wings of neutron missiles, death that had taken away the soul of every living creature and left the building standing. The 8-ring stove had several pots and pans on it, all filled with a rotted powder where there had once been stews, refried beans, and potatoes.
There's cans of food on the shelves! Ah, but it looks like they've all blown!
They had, every one. Now all of the Anglos were in the room, while their Navajo colleagues stayed in the outer part of the diner, unable to conceal their unease. Mildred and Doc were looking in the cupboards, while Jack had picked up the biggest of the serrated meat knives and was balancing it on his palm, as if he were considering adding it to his armory.
Huh. Nice.
He dropped it back onto one of the work surfaces. Christy was taking off the last orders from the spike and trying to read them.
They're too faded to read. There aren't many of them, like business was bad that day.
A calendar was tacked to the inside of the outer door, showing scenes of beautiful New Mexico. It was for the year 2001, a year that was barely started when it was all over.
Some brandy here. Better part of 2/3 full.
Doc handed it to Ryan, who glanced at it. The label was torn, but he could still read the words, Emperor Maximilian. The back door was unbolted, and Ryan opened it and threw the bottle into the scrub.
Why did you do that? Is it that you think we cannot be trusted with liquor?
No, Sleeps and Day. It's not that at all.
Then what?
I was 100 years old. I once got triple sick from something that old. Might taste all right, but I still figure it's better to pass on it. We're a small force, Sleeps and Day, and we can't afford not to have everyone fit in well for tomorrow. You agree?
Yes, One Eye. Yes.
One of them's gone, Ryan.
Ryan stopped unrolling his blanket.
Who, GB?
The kid.
Man sees behind sun?
Yeah. The one that was so good at reading the trail. I noticed he's gone.
Ryan glanced around the diner. The rest of the Native Americans were gathered at the end two tables, sitting and talking quietly.
They know?
Must do.
Come to tell the general where we are?
Could be.
That we chill the others right now.
Ryan stood.
Use the Uzi on them. I'll pick up the spares with a 6-hour. Not worth taking a chance.
You sound like traitor. If in doubt, fill the graveyard.
Traitor kept himself alive a long time thinking like that, didn't he?
Sure. Might still be this side of the Black River for all we know.
So?
Doesn't make sense, Carter. Think about it. They want to betray us. Then they wait until we sleep and try to take us all out. No point going to tell the general where we are. No advantage in that.
Unheard by either of them, Jack had ghosted up behind the two men.
I agree with JB. No point.
So where's he gone?
The light outside had quickly faded, close to darkness.
Sleeps and Day?
What is it?
Where's Man Sees Behind Sun gone?
The Indian didn't answer immediately, and Ryan felt the familiar faint prickling at his nape.
We think that the wags could have trouble on the last part of their journey home with the weight of rain.
And the boy's gone look?
This is so. He will be back before the middle of the night to tell us.
What the fuck do you think this is? Some bastard Sundance game with a white buffalo and all your mystic shit?
All of the Navajo were on their feet, gripping weapons. The Anglos had stopped what they were doing and stood frozen, hands on their guns. The only exception was Doc, who was out in the kitchen, oblivious to the tension.
What the hell, Ryan?
It is wise what he has done. You know that.
I don't know shit.
You got that right.
Ryan was aware of a vein pulsing across his temple.
We fight together or we split up now. The kid might get caught and betray us all. Could be they'll see him and follow him back here. Then we all get to be fucking dead. You should have stopped him. You're the leader.
Christy was staring at Ryan, her mouth half open, as if she were going to say something, but didn't know what.
No. Your ways are not the ways of the people. True, I am leader of this hunting party of warriors, but I do not command and order my brother to do anything. We all do what we wish. After the slaughter of our sisters and brothers by the general, we all wish his death. We see that we are stronger with you Anglos, that is all.
Ryan licked his lips. passingly surprised at just how dry they'd suddenly become. He blinked and rubbed the back of his hand across his eye, feeling the tension ebbing from him, the red mist lifting from his mind.
I'm tired. Best keep a watch. You men want to share it with us?
Yes. We will wait and watch together.
Do you know the way? Oh, pardon me. Have I been missing something? Is something wrong?
No, Doc. Not a thing.
Man Sees Behind Sun reappeared between midnight and 1 o'clock in the morning. Ryan himself had been on watch, along with two dogs fighting, patrolling the area of scrub around the building. There was a clump of saltwater cedars at the edge of what had been the parking lot, and Ryan spotted the blur of movement that was the returning young Navajo. The Steyr SSG-70 was ready in Ryan's hands, and he brought it slowly to his shoulder, knowing how easily a sudden movement could be detected in darkness. The Starlight Nightscope fixed to the bolt-action rifle, with its laser image enhancer, showed the details among the shadows of the bosque with a shimmering clarity, picking out the crouched figure of the warrior working his way cautiously toward the diner. Ryan quickly checked to make sure that nobody else was close by.
Come ahead!
Two dogs fighting appeared from the blackness behind Ryan.
How'd you know he was there?
Blasters, he's behind night.
Oh, come on, Dad. It was a good dream.
Boy, you better go out on watch. It's your turn.
All right.
Dean went out and joined Young Pony Runs on watch, while everyone else gathered in the dining section of the time-trapped eatery to listen to the report from Man Sees Behind Sun. Doc, sleepy-eyed, was trying to fold the fragile paper napkins into an infinitely complex shape that would result in a perfect chrysanthemum, but the great age of the material kept defeating him. Christy had asked Ryan whether he intended to take the young warrior to task for creeping off without letting them know where he was going, but he'd already decided there was no point in pursuing the matter. Better by far to simply accept what had happened and let the matter drop.
The rain was bad, and I thought when we saw the wags at a distance that there might be trouble in climbing the hills. They are steep ahead.
Doc crumpled up another failed piece of origami and threw it on the floor.
I went through the night, following where I was able. There was enough of the moon to see the trail of the wags. It was as I thought. One had gone, the other had not.
What do you mean, Man Sees Behind Sun? There's a stranded wag out there?
Yes, JB, it is so.
Where?
South.
JB clenched his fists in irritation.
We know it's south, we don't know how far.
Between 1 and 2 hours.
Ryan caught JB's eye and nodded to him.
Call it around 7 miles. That would tie in with what we saw there. Son, you have a chance to see if the men were with it, or whether the general's taken the crew along with him back to their base?
I cannot be sure.
But?
But I think some had gone and some had not. I crawled close to where they were buried above the... What is the word for the rod between the wheels?
Axle.
Yes. The mud was thick, completely above the axles of the wag, and it will take much digging to free it. As it starts to dry, so it will harden.
How many men, son?
4 or 5. One is a woman.
You heard her?
You heard the voice of a woman, Man Sees Behind Sun.
I saw her, sleeps in day.
How?
She climbed out and made water close to where I was hiding. Very close.
Mean she pissed on you?
It is not good to ask that.
The albino stared at Sleeps in Day, holding the eyes of the older man with his own ruby gaze. Ryan broke the moment.
4 or 5, and 1 a woman. That's all we need to know.
Why didn't you chill her? That close.
It would have raised an alarm. He did right.
Guess so.
You know he did, Jack.
No matter. Stop vengeance tonight.
They were ready to move in less than 15 minutes. The only thing that held them up was an argument over the animals. The Navajo wanted to take their ponies with them, while the Anglos preferred leaving them behind at the diner.
They'll raise the alarm, Sleeps in Day, especially the damned mule.
Then leave them. But our ponies are trained in war. They will not betray us.
Everyone was up on their feet except for Doc, who was still struggling with his paper folding. At the very beginning of the discussion, he'd made clear his preference.
I'd walk barefoot across the hot plate of Hades rather than have to willingly climb aboard that razor-backed horse and creature again.
But the Native Americans were united in their decision. In the end, Ryan decided that there was no point in sustaining the division. Time was passing, and it would be a meaningful victory if they could destroy one of the general's wags and take out some of his force before dawn. But to delay their combat plans by even a half hour more could jeopardize the entire deal. First light comes early in the southwest.
All right, we'll go with you and ride. But I say we stop a half mile off and tether the horses. You agree?
I agree, Armorer.
Excellent.
I thought you didn't want to have to climb onto Judas again, old man.
What, Dr. Wyeth? Oh, that, well, that is true, but look at this.
Doc proudly held up a tiny paper model of a Chinese junk, fully rigged. Dean opened the front door, creating a ripple of wind across the diner, enough to destroy the fragile little vessel in the old man's hands.
Oh, sorry, Doc.
Everything passes. If I have to endure further torture on the back of that mule, then let us begin. Soonest started, soonest finished is my motto.
The nuke storms of the past days had made the trail more difficult. At one point, they had to detour a half mile to the east to avoid a narrow defile where the gray-orange mud lay churned and thick. The visibility was very poor, and Ryan had to keep resorting to the starlight nightscope. For some time, they were riding in silence along a narrow diagonal valley with sparse clumps of stunted live oak standing among the sagebrush. But the trail finally began to wind upward again, and at last, Ryan held up a hand.
Halt, everybody.
What is it, Ryan?
I can see it. Best tether the horses here and go ahead on foot.
As he dismounted, Ryan noticed that two or three of the Navajo were fumbling with small leather pouches that they wore around their necks. He knew they contained a mixture of magical, shamanic symbols, different for each man. A pinch of sand, or a pebble, or a bone, or the tip of an arrow. Sleeps in Day caught him watching.
It will be a good day to die, brother.